Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, July 23rd, 2024. We begin on the first page with Video Reveals Chaotic Scene in Fatal Shooting. Sangamon County Deputy Charged with Murder of Black Woman Who Had Called 911 for Help by John O'Connor. Body camera video released Monday by a prosecutor reveals a chaotic scene in which a black woman who called 911 for help is shot in the face in her home by a white Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy. One video from July 6th shows a tense moment in which former Sangamon County Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson yelled at 36-year-old Sonia Massey over moving a pot from the stove. He threatens to shoot her. Massey ducks, then briefly rises, and Grayson fires his pistol at her three times. Grayson has pleaded not guilty to charges of first-degree murder, aggravated battery with a firearm, and official misconduct. He is being held in the Sangamon County Jail without bond. Ben Crump, the noted civil rights attorney who is representing Massey's family, told the crowd at her funeral in Springfield on Friday that the video would reveal a crime as startling as the 1955 lynching of Chicago teenager Emmett Till in Mississippi, the Chicago police shooting of Laquan McDonald, and the Minneapolis police murder of George Floyd. It is going to shock the conscience of America. It is that senseless, that unnecessary, that unjustifiable, that unconstitutional, Crump said. The sheriff's deputy was twice as large as Sonia. Why would you have to use a gun to shoot her in the head? Authorities said Massey, who is black, called 911 in the early morning hours to report a suspected prowler. Grayson entered the house with another deputy, noticed a pot on the stove, and gave Massey permission to move it. When she put it on a counter, Grayson allegedly pulled his 9mm pistol and threatened to shoot her. She reportedly apologized and ducked for cover, but Grayson approached and shot her, prosecutors said. Grayson, who is white, did not activate his body camera until after firing the shots, Millhiser contends. He then allegedly advised his partner not to give medical aid to Massey because of the severity of her injuries, according to court documents detailing the incident. The other deputy provided emergency assistance and stayed with Massey until medical professionals arrived. The body camera footage is horrific, and I offer my deepest sympathy to Sonia Massey's family as they relive a moment no family should experience, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul said in a statement. As the community reacts to the release of the footage, I urge calm as this matter works its way through the criminal justice system. Grayson was fired last week. If convicted, he faces prison sentences of 45 years to life for murder, 6 to 30 years for battery, and 2 to 5 years for misconduct. His lawyer, Daniel Foltz, declined comment on Monday. Massey's death prompted subsequent protests demanding justice in the case. Echoing that call at her funeral, Massey's father, James Wilburn, said he's encouraged by the speed with which the Illinois State Police, which investigated the incident, and Millhiser acted. In 10 days, they convened a grand jury. They completed their investigation. They arrested, they got him fired, Wilburn said. That's unheard of. The video can be viewed online at bit.ly/July-6shooting. Please note that it contains graphic imagery that may disturb viewers. Crump, who planned a news conference with family members following the video release, is on his second sojourn in Springfield. He has also represented the relatives of Earl Moore, a Springfield man who died after he was strapped face down on a stretcher in December of 2022. Two emergency medical professionals face murder charges in that case. Also on the front page, we have Illinois Democrats backing Harris. Pritzker, Vice President, Best Choice to Beat Trump by Brendan Moore. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker said on Monday he endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris to lead the Democratic presidential ticket, joining a chorus of would-be potential would-be presidential contenders who have fallen in line since President Joe Biden's shock exit from the presidential race. Also endorsing Harris in statements Sunday night and Monday morning were every member of the state's Democratic congressional delegation, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul, Illinois Secretary of State Alex Janulius, Illinois House Speaker Chris Welch, and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, among others. The endorsements come 4 weeks ahead of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago and just days after Republicans gathered in Milwaukee to nominate former President Donald Trump as their candidate once again. Pritzker, in a statement, confirmed that he spoke with Harris on Sunday, telling her that Biden's exit from the race came as a genuine surprise. The vice president asked for Pritzker's endorsement, according to a source with knowledge of the conversation. The governor said that he spent hours on Sunday getting and giving input about the road to victory in November before ultimately issuing his endorsement just before 9 a.m. on Monday. I am endorsing Kamala Harris for president and will work hard to get her elected because I believe that she is the most qualified and capable person to be president, Pritzker said. I also think it's past time we shatter that highest and hardest of glass ceilings and finally elect a woman as president of the United States. Political observers have long speculated about a possible presidential run for Pritzker, a billionaire who has been an outspoken critic of Trump and gone to lengths to raise his profile with Democrats outside of Illinois. And he was one of several high-profile Democrats mentioned as a possible candidate to lead the ticket or serve as a vice presidential candidate on a ticket headed by Harris if Biden stepped aside. With a vast personal fortune at his disposal, Pritzker was viewed as one of the handful of potential candidates who could have stood up a presidential campaign on a dime. But as Pritzker pondered the party's future and his own place within it on Sunday, Harris quickly lined up support of several potential rivals for the nomination, including California Governor Gavin Newsom, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, and North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear later pledged their support to Harris as well. By the end of the day Sunday, most of Illinois' Democratic congressional delegation endorsed Harris, though the state Democratic Party and most state government leaders kept their powder dry while awaiting for the governor. Soon after Pritzker announced his support, the state party endorsed Harris. Around the same time, Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth also spoke out in support of Harris, their one-time colleague in the U.S. Senate. As of Monday afternoon, no other high-profile Democrat had announced a plan to challenge Harris for the nomination. If she receives the nomination and ultimately wins the election in November, she would be the first woman and first Asian American elected president. She would also be the second Black person elected to the job. Illinois delegates to the Democratic National Convention said they were excited and energized by the expected elevation of Harris to the top of the ticket. I think that it's going to galvanize the party, said State Senator David Kaler, a Democrat from Peoria, a delegate from the 17th Congressional District. And I think it's going to be an electrifying campaign, so I'm all in at this point. I think it's a done deal at this point, Kaler added, and the thing now to focus on is Democrats united and going out and having a robust campaign. I think the fact that they raised almost $50 million last night in less than 24 hours is a good show that people are ready for change. They're ready for younger leadership. The old man in the race is now old man Trump. Harris sets up a strong contrast with Trump in a number of ways, Kaler said. I mean, here you have a prosecutor of sex crimes and a perpetrator of sex crimes, he said, referring to Trump, who last year was found civilly liable for sexually abusing advice columnist E. Jean Carroll in 1996. So let's have a good debate. Harris's campaign has already rejuvenated a Democratic base that had been demoralized following Biden's disastrous debate performance on June 27th. More than $50 million in small dollar donations came in within the first 24 hours of Harris's campaign. And more than 40,000 people participated in a Zoom call Sunday evening organized by the group Win with Black Women. So that really speaks to the energy that's out there, said State Senator Doris Turner, a Democrat from Springfield, and a delegate from the 13th Congressional District who participated in the Zoom call. And it speaks to the excitement that is surrounding the vice president's campaign. And that excitement is contagious. I see it growing and growing and growing. I'll return to election news later in the broadcast, but right now we'll go for local news with Appreciation for All. Rivian Family Day puts atmosphere and opportunity on display by Brendan Dennison. A baby kangaroo, magic show, and the opportunity to see where their loved ones work brought thousands out to Rivian Automotive Manufacturing Facility in West Normal this past weekend. More than 6,000 people were signed up to attend the third annual Family and Friends Day on Sunday, said Tim Fallon, Vice President of Manufacturing Operations. Crowds gathered on site to take tours of the electric vehicle company's manufacturing plant, enjoy lunch and treats, and take part in a host of family-friendly activities prepared for the day. This is really appreciation for all of our families and friends, all of our employees, everybody that works so hard to make everything we're doing here so possible and so great, Fallon said. Production was paused during the five-hour event Sunday afternoon and was scheduled to pick things back up by 8 p.m. that evening. Before then, families were invited to watch a magic show, make friendship bracelets, jump in a bounce house, draw on decorative walls and a designated Rivian R1 vehicle, and indulge in free servings from Carl's Ice Cream Factory. Fallon and 10 other Rivian executives took a turn in the dunk tank as part of the celebration. The vibe truly is electric, Fallon said, noting turnout was really good this year. Visitors were excited, and the employees were excited to show friends and family where they work, too, he said. Those in attendance were able to tour the plant and check out the latest Rivian models, including the R2 and R3X that were debuted in March. A mid-sized R2 model was on display, exhibiting its rooftop tent accessory. Rivian employee Jake Williams of Peoria brought his 3-year-old son, Silas Williams, whose eyes became fixated on the R3X during their visit. Another worker for the EV plant joining the festivities was Eric Alvarez. His 4-year-old daughter, Erica Alvarez, added colors to a large community art sheet inscribed with the bubbly word family. This is awesome, said Eric Alvarez when asked for his thoughts on the event. The Bloomington father added he was glad to have opportunities at Rivian and a chance to bring his daughter and wife to his workplace. Monica McGee, who works end of line at Rivian on the Enduro Drive unit, also saw a young relative spark their creativity. Her granddaughter, Emily Piercy, 8, drew bushes with green markers on a white R1 model that became covered in drawings throughout the day. When asked most what she loves about her job, McGee responded, "The people, for sure." She said the atmosphere here is great and her bosses are amazing, describing the EV factory as one of the cleanest places to work. "The opportunities are amazing if you want them," McGee said. Returning partners for the event included the Children's Discovery Museum, Upper Limits Climbing Gym, which brought a climbing wall, and Raider Family Farms, which ran a petting zoo with goats. Illinois State University's School of Teaching and Learning tabled its Green STEMs project, which promotes nature and STEM-based explorations. Event planner Laura Ewan, also Rivian's employee communications and experience manager, said she has planned each Family and Friends Day since 2020. A new feature this year was Wild Times Exotics, a Springfield-based company that offers zoo experience with wild animals, who brought a baby kangaroo named Chief Hopper. That was really fun and exciting, she said. Other new additions were live music from Backseat Radio, playing pop and classic hits. Ewan also leads Rivian's community initiatives in Bloomington Normal and said Raider Family Farms are our best neighbors. Other planned events for Rivian team members include a family movie night in September and a Holidazzler party in December. Other local items include Eureka College announced on Monday the launch of the Color Us Hopeful Eureka College Coloring Book Program through a grant from the Illinois Prairie Community Foundation. The aim of this program is to bring joy and creativity to children in need, as well as food supplies from Midwest Food Bank, according to a news release. The Color Us Hopeful program includes children's stories written by Professor Zeke Jarvis and illustrations by art students. The layout of the coloring book was designed by Associate Professor Chris Wheely, with 1,000 books printed. Monica Coleman, Director of Foundation Relations and Grant Writing for the college, assembled the book packs, each including a coloring book and crayons, and the finished packs were delivered to the food bank by Jarvis and Willie. The packets will be distributed to families in need through the organization's Hope Packs, the news release reported. University of Illinois Extension will host a diabetes clinic, Hydrate with Water, from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. on Thursday, August 15th, at Eureka United Methodist Church, 208 North Calendar Street. The class will be taught by Jenna Smith, nutrition and wellness educator and registered dietitian. She will focus on the amount of water recommended, how to stay hydrated, and what foods have a high water content. These clinics are informal walk-in programs that focus on a different topic each month for those with diabetes. The program is free and no registration is required. Visit go.illinois.edu/LMW or contact Smith at jesmith6@illinois.edu or call 309-663-8306 for more information. Still in Eureka, we have the Eureka Church of Christ will host its 16th annual free giveaway day from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturday, August 3rd. Donated household items such as appliances, furniture, clothing, school supplies, and more will be accepted from communities in Woodford and Tazewell counties for the free distribution. Items must be in good and working condition. Those who are interested in donating can call the church at 309-467-4673, Minister Gary Klein at 309-394-2451, or Brian Reeves at 309-657-7488. The giveaway event is open to the public. In agricultural news, we have State Expects Ample Sweet Corn Crop by Amy Graham McCarty. As consumers look to add fresh, sweet corn to their summer meals, a couple of Illinois producers say conditions have been right for a good crop this season. John Bartman grows 2 to 5 acres of sweet corn near Marengo, which is marketed at a roadside stand in McHenry County and sold to local restaurants. He said it will be another week or two before the crop is ready to harvest, but conditions were good during pollination. "We've been very fortunate," he told Farm Week. "Our rains have been timely and adequate." Farther south in Marion County, Vernon Quant has harvested a few batches of his 5-acre crop and reported similar results. "It's definitely been a good crop this year," he said. Okay, returning to election news, we have local 2020 Harris delegates share thoughts. Cummings, Macheka say getting out to vote will be key for Democrats, by Matus Janik. As endorsements continue to pour in from Illinois Democrats declaring their support for Vice President Kamala Harris to become the party's presidential nominee, a few Democrats in central Illinois look to the future and reflect on the 4 years that have passed since they were slated to serve as her delegates during Harris's 2020 run for the presidency. Are the people ready to embrace the fact that a woman can run in that office? Asked Kimberly Harris, a trustee on the Normal Town Council on Monday, the day after President Joe Biden announced he is dropping out of the race and endorsing his vice president for the nomination. It's always hard to tell. She and longtime labor activist Mike Macheka were among the McLean County residents who knocked on doors in 2020, gathering signatures to serve as delegates at the Democratic National Convention, supporting then-Senator Kamala Harris for president. The Normal council member said she can remember being sad to hear the news when her chosen candidate dropped out of the race, recalling the crowded field of Democrats seeking the nomination that year, including Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, and Bernie Sanders. Matechka said he remembers driving to Chicago to turn in the petitions when Harris withdrew and how disappointed he was that the candidate he favored would not be continuing her campaign. But now he said there is an opportunity to rectify that. I think as a woman with a diverse background, she's going to have a really broad appeal, and one of the things I liked about her originally was with her background as a prosecutor, he said. Once people get to know her, they'll realize that background and the things that she did, which will put her in a strong position to be a national leader. Both Matechka and Kimberly Harris said Biden's move to exit the presidential race was the right decision, and they recognize the work he has done to create jobs, tackle climate change, and keep the country on a stable footing during a divided period of time. I know it's a tough sacrifice, but I think he did the appropriate thing by dropping out, Majeka said. This will put her in a great position to put together a campaign, but also disarm that issue of age, which was plaguing the president. In a statement Sunday, Biden offered, quote, my full support and endorsement for Kamala to be the nominee of our party this year. Democrats, it's time to come together and beat Trump. Let's do this, close quote. Kimberly Harris said Biden's endorsement was a very bold move in advancing the potential of Black women and women of color in politics and showing his support for someone who has the qualifications to be the next president. Being a woman of color myself and knowing what it's like in the seats for us, it's never easy, said Kimberly Harris, who became the first elected Black member of the Normal Town Council in 2017. When we know we can have support like that, when someone of his caliber can say, I'll put my stamp of approval behind you, I think it speaks high volumes. Looking to the Democratic National Convention in August and the election following in November, the Normal trustees said voters will have to make a decision for themselves and what they want to see for the future of America. Matechka said the key to winning in November will be voter engagement, including having one-on-one interactions with voters to hear what is on their minds and what motivates them to come out and vote. Hopefully, this gives folks a different perspective and leads to a greater turnout and more people from not just different diversities but different demographics, Matechka said. Participating in the election will make a big difference. Harris, who announced her candidacy for mayor of Normal last week, said voters will have to ask themselves what type of country, state, and community they want, because the presidential election will not only matter at a federal level, but will trickle down to the local level. More importantly, no one can afford to stay at home and not vote this election, she said. Everyone needs to get out and vote, Kimberly Harris said. I think we are at a place where we're going to come together and make some heavy decisions that will return the word human back into the word humanity so that we can make sure that we have a civilized country, state, and community for the future. Erase the R's and the D's and look for the people who are interested in the humanity and continuing the democracy that this country was built on, she said. And we have Harris looks to lock up Democratic nomination. VP campaign says it raised nearly $50 million after Biden's exit, by Zeke Miller and Seung Min Kim with the Associated Press. Vice President Kamala Harris moves swiftly to lock up Democratic delegates behind her campaign for the White House after President Joe Biden stepped aside amid concerns from within their own party that he would be unable to defeat Republican Donald Trump. Biden's exit Sunday, prompted by Democratic worries over his fitness for office, was a seismic shift to the presidential contest that upended both major political parties' carefully honed plans for the 2024 race. Aiming to put weeks of intra-party drama over Biden's candidacy behind them, prominent Democratic elected officials, party leaders, and political organizations quickly lined up behind Harris in the hours after Biden announced he was dropping his re-election campaign. Biden's departure frees up his delegates to vote for whomever they choose. Harris, whom Biden backed after ending his candidacy, is thus far the only declared candidate and was working to quickly secure endorsements from a majority of delegates. Additional endorsements Monday, including Maryland Governor Wes Moore, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, and Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, left a dwindling list of potential rivals to Harris. Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, who had been one of the notable holdouts to Harris, initially encouraging a primary to strengthen the eventual nominee, endorsed Harris Monday. Pelosi said she was lending her enthusiastic support to Harris's effort to lead the party. More than 1,000 pledged delegates have told AP or announced that they plan to support Harris at the convention, which is over half of the pledged delegates she needs in order to clinch the nomination. Democratic National Committee rules most recently set 1,976 pledged delegates as the benchmark to win the nomination. Winning the nomination is only the first item on a staggering political to-do list for her after Biden's decision to exit the race, which she learned about on a Sunday morning call with the president. If she's successful at locking up the nomination, she must also pick a running mate and pivot a massive political operation to boost her candidacy instead of Biden's, with just over 100 days until Election Day. On Sunday afternoon, Biden's campaign formally changed its name to Harris for President, reflecting that she is inheriting his political operation of more than 1,000 staffers and a war chest that stood at nearly $96 million at the end of June. It got bigger by Monday morning. Campaign spokesman Lauren Hitt said Harris has raised $49.6 million in donations in the first 15 hours after Biden's endorsement. Harris spent much of Sunday surrounded by family and staff, making more than 100 calls to Democratic officials to line up their support for her candidacy, according to a person familiar with the matter who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss the effort. It comes as she tries to move her party past the painful public wrangling that defined the weeks since the Biden's disastrous June 27th debate with Trump. Harris's team raised more than $81 million in the 24-hour period since Biden's announcement, campaign spokesperson Kevin Munoz said on Monday. And that completes part one of the Pantograph for Tuesday, July 23rd, 2024. I'm Janice Schweizer, and I will return shortly with part two.